we're talking about industry versus artistry. Now, I just got off the phone with one of my people that I work with as far as music, and we've done some stuff together. And basically, he was telling me, you know, how they want him to do this, and he don't want to do that, and, you know, and the industry is telling him how he should do this and do that, and he doesn't want to do it. And I told him, I said, well, the thing is industry is about making money. They could care less really about your product, which is your artistry. You need to think about your artistry as being a product. And that was basically his position, and he just didn't want to do that. So with that said, you know, I have to play my song, which is Metamorphosis. And then from there, we'll go into some callers. All right.
Sometimes I feel like I'm dying and going insane from doing the same. Coming a brand new me, the pigeonhole with all of the standards I had to leave. I moved the ball that was right in front of me, so I could see it. Let me be, let me be.
Metamorphosis, you know, from my buddy, you know, basically change into yourself and do what you got to do. And You know, don't let nothing hold you, because basically, you know, it's what you want to do and it's what you believe. So basically what art is about, you're expressing yourself. So because you're an artist, very sensitive about, you know, people's reactions and, you know, how they're going to feel about it. So instead of me rambling, let me open up some lines that we got here. This is 215-933. What's up?
What's up?
I'm about to say, stop breathing hard and talk.
What's up, man? I got asthma. You know, I got asthma. You know, it's crazy. What's up, Persia? What's up, girl?
Nothing much, dirty dirt boy. So, this is, you know, introduced to everybody, this is Dirt Boy, and he has an EP coming out.
EP.
And basically, you know, he has, well, you know what, tell a little bit about yourself.
Okay, yeah, I'm Dirty Dirt Boy. You might want to call me Dirty Dirt Matt, but my name is Dirty Dirt Baby. actually, my nickname is Dirt, so it's all pretty much a display. Originality is real important in music and in artwork in general. So my nickname being Dirt, you have to figure somebody already had that name already, and maybe it might have been from England, it might have been from anywhere. So this is what I decided to brand name my artwork. It's Dirty Dirt Baby, and they call me DDB for short, and my friends call me Dirt. And the people who know me call me Jared, because that's my real name. Persia, baby, a lot of love to you. I know that's probably what you call me. And, artwork is real crazy. Persia, when you really get down to business, it's almost like the sensitivity of an artist, like you explained, is the most important thing. It's something that was more dictated 10 years ago. It was dictated by the industry, and if you come 10 years later, yeah, people say a lot of the music is watered down and blah blah blah. But at the same time, you have the artists kind of dictating their music. You have a lot more artists dictating what they can do with themselves, because people like me are somebody who would have been told no to at certain points in the industry, and at this point in time in 2010, I can't take no for an answer. So it's a mentality thing, Persia, baby. That's all.
Yeah, I understand that. I think everybody has been told no to a certain extent, but that is the beauty of this day and age, is basically you can be an independent artist and out there and, you know, have other people, you know, enjoy it. And basically,
yeah,
you're the people that will enjoy what you have to offer. Everybody's not going to like everything. I mean, everything from Nicki Minaj to Coldplay to Jay-Z to, you know, Skunk Anansi, everybody has their preference. Each one of these artists speak to the hearts of whoever follows them. That's basically what it's about.
It is what it's about. And especially, it's a great comparison with Jay-Z and Nicki Minaj, because Nicki Minaj came into the game with the kind of popularity that Jay-Z didn't have when he came into the game. Mm-hmm. And if you look at Jay-Z's music, especially his live performances now, Jay-Z cultivated himself around the game. I mean, he's not a lucky person. He's really not. I mean, he couldn't get a record deal when he started. He is, Reasonable Doubt came out, he was 27. You're just dealing with a person who was really smart. You're dealing with a person who really believed in himself. And I don't think that Nicki Minaj is any different. It all depends on what people like at that certain point in time. But if you're an artist, you can't make your artwork based on what people are liking at the time unless you're in, how do I say it? An industry, if you're a major label artist and the people around you can dictate your time and dictate your money, you might be able to try to come in and catch on to what's hot right now. For 98% of the game, most of the people who really became successful stuck to their guns, whether or not they became successful or not. I believe when they became successful, they were a lot able to accept and a lot able to understand their success, because it took hard work. And that personifies music in general, because But outside of Nicki and outside of Jay and outside of, you know what I mean, anybody, there's a lot of people out there, there's a lot of Persia Sounds and a lot of DDBs that are out there pouring their heart out, making their music, and just want their voice to be heard. And I congratulate all the people who get their voice heard, because it really does instill the dream, and it really does make people aspire. And I'll tell you what, we love them all to death, man. I love hip-hop, baby. I love R&B. I love rock. I love music in general, and I love to see people shine, baby.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much the same way as well. You know, for me, you know, I've had a lot of ups and downs as far as, you know, obviously I do rock and you do rap, if people didn't know. And he's a white boy and I'm a black girl, if people did not know. And basically, you know, I gravitated towards rap, rock music. And I started going to, like, camps, and, you know, I was basically around a lot of other white people, and I gravitated towards it more when I thought that, you know, a lot of the R&B music was cookie cutter, and it was manufactured, and it didn't have the same soul and feeling as the musicians of, like, the 70s and some parts of the 80s.
You
know, some of the singers are like, you know, Phyllis Hyman and I can't even name names right now, but, you know, as far as that level, and a lot of the music or musicality was taken out of the music, so I started gravitating towards rock because they actually play instruments and it took you on a journey. And plus, you know, at certain times in my life, it's just I had a lot of energy and I just wanted to get it out. And at that time, or even still sometimes, it's like that's the only thing that really can express me. You know what I'm saying? So,
girl, I'm telling you, like, that is the thing. R&B is a very boxed-in music. I mean, rap is a very boxed-in music. I kind of break outside of the box, but it ain't like that I'm, like, it ain't like I get heralded for it. If anything, I get more people to tell me, why don't you just step inside the box, man? Why don't you just step inside the box and take a quick, easy score, and it might improve you. And I'll put it this way. I have a lot of respect for you because I don't really think that you could express yourself through R&B. You're from Philly, girl. So you're going to get boxed into R&B and neo-soul and blah, blah, blah. If that doesn't break into what you're trying to express, this is the reason why artists sometimes break out and go on their own and do what believes in them. Right or wrong, pass or fail, do or die. Every artist should definitely express themselves the way they feel, make the music, the kind of music they love. This is what the new age brings in. And if anybody happens to be, I don't know, commercially successful, well, if it's bringing you that kind of money, maybe you can switch off to a couple different genres. Maybe you have that luxury at that point in time. But I'll tell you what, in the point of view, in the instance that I'm doing music and everything, I mean, I'll put it this way. I'm going to play my style of basketball to the end of the game, period. And this is the way I know how to coach. This is the way I know how to express myself. I don't know any other way. I didn't really listen to rock in my whole life. Maybe if it was on MTV or if it was a pop song. You know, I was always really deep into R&B when I was in my early teens or even before that. I actually did like TLC and SWV, and I liked Escape, and I liked R&B. And so I don't feel like I changed when I came to make music. And even though I'm Dirty Dirt Baby and I'm making some kind of crazy songs, you're always going to get that realness inside of me on every joint. And when you lose that, it doesn't be it's not music anymore. Now it's happening.
Is acting as far as what, making money?
Well, no, it's not. I think that you might not even make money. If you think about how many artists, are controlled or how many artists are trying to be something that don't make money, I mean, none of them really do. I mean, matter of fact, I'll put it this way. Acting is when you're playing a role. Music is almost the opposite. Music is almost trying to find who you are. Music is about your core. Music is about being you and bringing other people into your world. Acting is the opposite. Acting is like you're stepping outside of yourself and you're trying to get people to come into another person's world. And that's the focus of music. If you look back decades and decades, the focus of music was always artwork. It was always people who were themselves. And if you happened to be an exotic at that point in time, you might be successful. If you weren't an exotic, maybe you were. But I think that for decades, people have poured their hearts out into their music. And I think that the new age, being that records aren't selling and the music industry has changed, this is even a further step to the artist being themselves, and I think it's a farther step away from music being important to America, because you're not getting the big hits. You're not getting the industry control hits. You're not going to get an artist like Whitney Houston to sing a song that was already written like "I Will Always Love You" and see big hits anymore. I mean, no matter how much I love Beyonce and I love Halo, Halo will never be "I Will Always Love You" because music becomes watered down. But the actual artists themselves have more control, and I believe that in the next 10 years, I think the artists will gravitate back towards the co-writers. I believe that we'll gravitate back towards industry people, but it'll be on the artist's terms, and it'll be on the terms of the creativity that is dictated by the public. And that's what Napster did 10 years ago that is still kind of catching on now, which was like, it used to be you bought a record and there was one song you like. Now you get to listen to the record first and buy the ones you want. It used to be a seller's market and now it's a buyer's market. And I think that, I'll put it this way, it's being good to music, but it hasn't really transformed the quality yet, Persia, if that makes any sense. I think music is getting better. I think the quality became worse, but I think the quality will get better as the industry and as the people and as the consumers and as the music fans get used to what is going on now. I think in the next 5 years to the next decade, we're going to see the big hits come back, if that makes any sense.
No, I see what you're saying, but I also can argue you on that point as well, because people will sit up here and tell me that one type of music is different than the other or better than the other, but for me, like you said, music is an expression and is bringing another person into your world to explain yourself, right, or to express yourself or connect to another person. So even though people think Britney Spears is crap or Lady Gaga, some of her music is just too basic, and then they want to compare that to Whitney Houston, and but honestly, to me, it's like music can't be compared, because if it's art, it's all relative. It's all, what it made you feel at that moment. Some music is strictly for the club. You know what I mean? Some music is simply to bring the freak out of you. Other music is to invoke thought. You know what I mean?
Right.
Every song and every type of music is basically designed to, bring something out of you. And if it has done that, if it has sparked an emotion in you, then it has done what it's supposed to do, because you connected to that song, you connected to that person, and they made you feel what you were supposed to feel.
Yeah, you're right, and I actually don't think you even conflicted with me.
Mm-hmm.
You're exactly right in what you're saying, and no, I don't think Lady Gaga was trying to write hit songs. Matter of fact, I read, and she wrote a lot of the songs on her first album in 2 weeks. She was a person who was told that she didn't have the look. She was told she didn't do it. Like, I believe that if you went back 5 years ago, I believe if you would have played Lady Gaga's music to an A&R, I believe they would have been like, maybe you should do this. I believe that they would have been like, sorry, this is the hardest part of my job. She persevered through that shit and made her music popular. It's only going to happen to 1% of people. And it doesn't matter. This day and age, you can make the music that you love and that you think sounds good, and you can go out and find the people. You know, and if you don't work that hard, you're not going to find them. If you're waiting for a magic carpet ride in the music industry these days, because it did used to happen, Persia. It used to be, 8 years ago, it would be like, you didn't really have to be that good. You could get a distribution deal and have money, and they'll put your record out, no matter what. And nowadays, the belt is tightened so tightly on the music industry, it's the people who really believe in their music have to fight for it. And what you're seeing is artists, a lot of the artists who made their money in the 90s are actually, they're actually signing artists they believe in just because to them it's about continuation of culture. To the people who made their money in the 90s off of music, they want to continue the culture that made them their money, and that's important because, for the simple fact that, I'll put it this way, Drake got a lot of support from Eminem, Lil Wayne, you name a great, incredible rapper, and Drake got support. I really don't think that these people sit around listening to his music, especially considering their position in the game. But I think that perpetuating hip-hop is important to a lot of the people like Eminem, a lot of the people like 50 Cent, a lot of people like, the big stars like Jay-Z. They want to perpetuate their music form. And that's the reason why you see backups right now. I don't think that anyone was really coming from their heart. I think 10 years ago, people were coming from their heart more. So, and especially in R&B, and I do not even, from the minute I met you or questioned you, it was like, I understood people wanted to box you on in the R&B music, and R&B music right now is fucking crap, period. It's not real. It's not like it was 15 years ago. It's not real. And you're a real big inspiration to me because it's like, this is what Persia Sound does. She makes the sound she hears in her heart. She makes the sound that she believes in and accepts me for who I am, and we all do it, and we all kind of coincide together, baby. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and it's funny because I still get the, it should be more R&B, and it's like, well, what the fuck is R&B? And personally for me, if you really know me, some of the, the ways that I think, my humor, and, some things that I want to talk about, it's just not going to come across if you do like R&B, Now, with some soul or something like that, that is some of the stuff that I have been working on and different things like that. Like, even when, working on these mixed tracks and stuff like that, you look for stuff that basically, honestly, it's whatever. If I feel it, I do it. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to put myself in a box. Now, when I first started coming out, I told everybody, no, that's what I'm doing, because the thing is, once I start doing something else, that's how people are going to see me. So now people see me the way I want them to. Now I'll just do whatever. If there's a rap song or something, I might not be out singing. I'm done hooking other people's stuff. I'm not saying that I'm against all other music. I love all music. It's just this is what my project is. And if somebody wants me to do a hook with them, and I feel like, some people can try and sing, I can try and rap, so I'm a rap too, So it's whatever, it's whatever I'm feeling.
I've been recording my shit for 4 years, I've already proved myself, I know how to be, I will do any kind of music as long as that people know what music I do from me, what music I do from the inside, what music means the most to me. So I am just the same as you. I will go on anything. I will sing. I'll sing all sorts of songs. I don't do this, but everybody knows what I do and what I do well. And it's no different. Music is no different than sports. It's like, cool, man. It's like, if you're good at something, you do it well, you do it. But it might not be, you might play a certain position on a sports field, but it might not be your favorite position. You know, yeah. And I think in music, we get the opposite. We get to play our favorite positions. And we don't play our favorite positions in the game until that's fine. Y'all respect us for it. And then I can go, I can do anything I want. It was a really good comment you made. Like, yeah, that's true. Y'all, you proved it to me that here's the thing about fake R&B these days, fake bullshit, and fake neural soul that's coming out these days. Which is
well,
like,
see, hold on. Now, hold on. I want to correct you? Because the thing
sure,
is, it's like, it's not whether it's fake, real, or not. It's just the industry is about. This is the first thing artists need to get in their head. Hold on. The industry, listen. I'm about to blank you out. Now, let me talk. So the thing is that the industry is about making money. You as the artist don't view it that way. You will do what comes from your heart, and your heart and mind are two different things, and mind is money. And when somebody's thinking about, can I make money from this, even though it's from your heart, they could care less because money does not care. What is what people are going to buy? And people are buying bullshit. Or I won't even say it's bullshit. Once again, the reason is because it has made people feel an emotion, and it has accomplished what it was supposed to do. It's supposed to make you jump around in the club. People
right.
want to feel good, and that's what's going to sell. You know, and that's just what it is.
You know, I listen to the bullshit. The bullshit is my favorite music. I just don't make it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't make it. I actually make music that, like, my music has meaning. It's like, I love anybody who knows me knows that I love pop music. I love pop music. I don't listen to underground music. I actually listen to what the kids listen to. It's just not what I make. And I'm not in the position that, dude, I can't make music that I think people are going to make. You know why? That's my instant failure. It's like my only edge is that I'm myself. That's my only edge. So if you lose that edge, me and my position, I'm gone. If it was an artist who was maybe 15, 16 years old, 17, 18 years old, and they're just like have a management and they have producers and they're just going to listen, hey, maybe we'll try to make a hit. They're actually working to get their chance maybe later on to get their point across. I have it now and I love it. I'm going to take it. But yeah, you're exactly right, man. This industry, you can't ever separate money from love. I love what I make, but I also want to make money making it. And if it goes down to the end, I'll never make a dime. I'm like Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. But at any point in time, I'm hoping that I make music that everyone loves. I'll put it that way.
You said what?
I hope that I make music that everybody in the whole world loves. I hope that I can make a song that everyone in the whole world loves. You know what I mean? I hope that I can, but I'm not going to try to do it. That's impossible.
Okay.
I'll put it this way. Music is about originality, and not everybody's going to be a star.
That's true.
In this day and age, it's not about who's a star. It's not about the person. It's about the song. You never know, like, anybody can break a song at any point in time that gets their point across. And even if it's not, you know what I mean, it can be number 100 in the company and in the country. That's big. And that's why I feel like I hate what happened to the music industry. The part that I love is the power goes to the artist. And there's a lot of artists out there that just want to make the music that they love and whatever. It's almost like they don't care. I know I probably care because I'm a businessman, I'm an entrepreneur, and I'm an artist. But when it comes to my artwork and my music, I ain't taking no notes from nobody because I'll put it this way, that'll be my instant failure. Persian, you're the best. You're an inspiration, girl. And I love the way that you create music. I love where you make music from. I definitely dig everything you do, girl. You know that I always be here to support you, and I think that the band you rocking with is something that's gonna take you forever, girl, forever and ever, man. Love you a lot, girl.
Well, thank you, babe. Now, when you sit up here and you talk about taking notes from other people, like. you know, we were talking about that earlier, too, and it's like, if there has been somewhat of a blueprint that has been established as far as being successful, you know, because the thing is that, okay, sometimes people think it's just all about you and your art, and it's not. It's about,
it's not,
because the thing is, you know, what the industry is looking for is if your artistry connects to people, because when your artistry connects to people, that means that they can make money off of you, right? Because basically as an artist, your power is influence and your influence is over people. So with that said, you have to give something to your people or, you know, that like you if they see something in you that they feel as though that you should be doing or they would like you to see. You know
right.
what I mean? And
well,
sometimes it's not
about,
you know what,
there,
I'm gonna, every time I talk, I'm about to put you on mute. Okay? So I can talk?
There, girl, you're right about people. Maybe the people that like your music, maybe it's not.
So what I'm saying is, and he's so busy talking, he don't even realize that I'm talking. That is, the funny part of this. Let me bring him back up. Hello?
Yeah, what up?
Let me talk. You know what? I love your energy, and I love everything. You know, let me put on one of your songs since we've been on this. We got some callers on here. If you want to speak, all you got to do is press 1 so that your hand will be raised. Because the last couple times, that's what I was doing. I was sitting up here inviting people to talk, and they didn't have their hand up. So if you want to talk, put your hand up. I see y'all just listening, so it's no problem. All right, so let me look for your songs. D, A, B, C, D, okay. Oh, my God, it's like in here. Okay, I didn't do capital letters. That's why I can't see it. All right, so what we're going to do, we're going to put on Gold Fever, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Probably one of your songs.
Why won't you just give me my money back? Give me my money back. I want my money back.
Yo,
I want money back.
I have game, but I don't have a chain to hack down to my way. But I still have taste without a grill on my face. Only cocaine. I make my teeth shine with toothpaste. A fake, knock off frames for cheapskate. Scrub down Air Force Ones with bleach slaves. Today, I can't get my shit straight. I fixate on scratch offs for quick tape. It's bait, they bang half with I made. An ape, deceptive trains with hot rage. I'm irate, no pay, it's Friday. It feels strange, count change to Osprey. For $5, my eyes dilate. From blue ribbon, I sway sideways. I owe fines from old trial days. Parole awaits, oh well, I violate. I need money.
My money back. Give me my money back. I want my money back. I want money back. Why won't you just give me my money back? Give me my money back. I want my money back. I want money back.
I have debt. Strange people always call me to collect. I overdrew my debit cards and bars in effect. I exit the back and let my friends get left with the check. I get depressed. My credit application rejects dejection, sex, and freshly dressed. Bachelorette expect X. Expenditures for sex are not impressed. Nothing that I wear is a success, less excess. My brand X, then I select second best. My Comcast, a disconnect, it's a pest. I can't experience much of X. My head gets cerebral stress. It's complex. The pressure in my chest gets me breathless. I guess I'm blessed. My mind's a treasure chest. Yes. I check for precious assets, yet don't forget to get power and respect. You need money.
Why won't you just give me my money back? Give me my money back. I want my money back. I want money back. Why won't you just give me my money back? Give me my money back. I want my money back. I want money back.
I'm the kind of guy that keeps my head high beside. I ain't too proud to beg for bread when I'm surprised. I'm pleased to buy the pie. Do you mind if I get by from time to time? Do you mind if I have my time to shine? Or do you want to see me grind, devise, and climb? You would love to see me strive and die inside. Walking with my head down, kicking my behind. Right, watch the cries when I fought the lies. And they want to die off my dime and leave me high and dry. With a pastor repping by my side. And an ashtray sitting side by side. I don't want to just sit by to my demise. I just want to live that life I idolize. But why cry? Thank God I'm alive. And even though it's hard to survive, my 9 to 5, I get
my money. Just give me my money back. Give me my money back. I want my money back. I want money back. I want you to give me my money back. Give me my money back. I want my money back. I want money back. I want you to give me my money back. Give me my money back. I want my money back.
A little bit about that song, your inspiration, and what made you, come up with that.
Yeah, that song was just about my life. I mean, that song holds true to 3 years, 5 years before I wrote it, and it's going to hold true to 3 years or 5 years after I wrote it. It's just me. The hook itself, "Give Me My Money Back," is just a state of mind. I mean, really, if you think about it, it doesn't have a direct correlation to the verses. The verses were just kind of poetry about struggling and maybe only a dollar behind. The song is not about being poor. The song is not about being deprived. The song is about just struggling. And the song is about having the strength to keep continuing on. And the song is about having the attitude to let people know where you are. And that's directly what everybody's worrying about right now. It's dollar for dollar. That's what the basic premises of the song, on lyrical structure. I didn't follow any path as far as syllable for syllable. Every verse has its own thing, and they all collaborated together on a certain level. We have a premise like "Give Me My Money Back." It's easy to wrap the end of the verse up to it, but it's not easy to make it all connect. To me, it was something that I wrote. It was something that song's been around for a little bit, and I actually just finished recording on it. The people on that song, you have the Urban Gorilla Orchestra. If people don't know, those horn sounds you hear are actually Jay Davidson, one of the most incredible saxophone players in the world, the most incredible saxophone player in Philly. You have Jared Mowers on baritone sax. You have trumpet, and you have Chuck Treese on drums and bass. You have Bonnie Sigler, R&B legend, on background vocals. And there's just a lot of talent on that song kind of coming together for one point. It's a point, whether you're rich or poor, you can deal with that subject matter of that song. But then again, it's not contrived. Like, we didn't mean to do that. It's not like we don't make contrived music. We weren't like in a board meeting with a piece of paper like, here's what we're going to say. It was a song that developed over a course of 2 to 3 years, to tell you the truth.
Okay, so y'all just all got together in the studio
No, actually the opposite. This is music that normally in my creative process, I write the music, and I had my people from Horsham, PA, Mark Brown, that came with the original beat before any of the horn players, before any of the people. It's actually, like I said, it's been several years in the making. And no, not something that we did in the studio together. I said the Urban Gorilla Orchestra did it from their studio. Some of the drum work was done with David Ivory in his studio. The vocals too. And I put it this way: it's not a contrived song. It wasn't something where we got together and like, hey, let's make this point across. I think that most people the thing I find out when I make music, most people are concerned about their part. I mean, I talked to Therese enough time. Chuck Tree is a great musician from Philadelphia. He really has explained the fact that when he hears music, he hears the drum parts. You know, he hears the bass part. He hears the parts that he listens and hears for the parts that are his role in the song. I'm the same way. And sometimes when you work with other people, you get to kind of really, you have that trust for them. If you feel like you're confident in the people you work with, you have a trust that they're going to actually look in and feed into your emotions. And I am fortunate enough that he had Jay, Jarrett, and Chuck Trees, David Ivory, and everybody, Bunny Sigler, and everybody who worked on the song fed into the emotion of the writer, which was real cool. For real.
Okay. Well, you know, I liked it, so. All right, we got a couple hands up, so let me get to the callers. Let's see, we got 484-250. What's up? You got your hand up. Who is this?
Hello?
Yes. 484-250. Oh, God. You get Deb Brush in the house. But anyway.
Caller, are you there?
Yeah, I mean, the thing, you know, but anyway. I understand that. So what do you, so I guess you're just going to be a soldier of artistry and not give a piece of yourself up to be successful in the industry? Is that what you're saying?
No, you know, that's not true. Like, you know, I have a long life. You know, not my whole life is not all about my music, though, Persia. You know, at some points in life I could be a hoe, too. But it's not, you know what? When it came to my music, I think it brought out the best of me. And I think that when I gave people my music, I gave them the most beautiful parts of me. I'm giving you my most beautiful photos. I'm giving you my lyrics the way I wanted them the best. I'm giving you the best people I could find to play on my tracks. I'm giving you the most beauty that I have. It's not really me. I'm a normal person with a lot of mistakes, a lot of bumps, a lot of bruises. And when I made the music, I'll put it this way, there was no rules. And every song is going to have a different story. And every song is going to have a different aspect. Every song is going to have a different... People are like, I'll put it this way, first, one thing I do is be diverse. I don't try to be, but I have multiple sides of my personality. And I think that anybody who does should definitely personify through their music.
Yeah, and that's, you know what, and that's what I wanted to say, too, like how you put it together. It's basically how industry would do it when they basically put people together. You took a lot of quote-unquote industry people to basically make your artistry, and that's something that intrigued me as well because,
awesome. You
know, and you have to basically, I mean, how did you find everybody to like, be on the album? I mean, you don't have to tell me all the trade secrets, but, I mean, how did you make it work? Because maybe...
No, that is the best question. Like, people really never ask me that, Persia. No, none of these people are my uncles. No. You know, I do not know any of the people I've collaborated with in any area of circles besides music. It was something I fought incredibly hard for. It's something I sacrificed greatly for. And you're right, I did take a lot of, you're exactly right. I took a lot of the routes that major labels would take to make their music. But you know what? It's pass or fail. Because here's the problem. And I say it's a problem because it is a problem. I am the artist. I'm the label. I'm the management. I'm like, you're getting me. So you're never going to get what the labels have because they have people who I actually think are really smart. And I'm not going to play that game because I can't. I'm going to fail unless I stick to myself. And if I stick to myself, there is no failure because music, in the end, is about expression. It's about beauty. It's not about pass or fail out here, Purge. You know that. I mean, we live in the beautiful city of Philadelphia. This city is embraced people that most of the country has never heard of. It's because of musical talent, musical passion. Philly has a lot of passion for music. And I just consider myself one of them. I'm not better or worse. Think about it. A lot of the people who I work with love my music, but that's not going to help me on any, you know what? I'm going to give you a good point of view. I gave my CD to somebody from my hometown, you know, not too long ago, and they said, are you making money off this? And I was like, well, I'm a record label. I kind of only make money, like, if, but are you making money? And it's like, it's so condescending. It's like, making money is not what I fucking came in this game for. I ain't come in this game for anything. You either wake up, you love it. You wake up, you do it. You wake up and you live it, or you don't. Period. There is no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Music makes me feel like a beautiful person. Music opens me up to really, really good people like yourself. And music has brought me into a circle that I never, ever would have experienced in life. Like, I got all the haters and the people that are against me and the people that think I'm a fucking joke or people that blah, 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 so on. Everybody has that. And I think that music brought me some of them, especially being around Philly. Music has brought me so much joys and blessings and great people. And in the end, brothers, that's what it's about, bro.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
No, I got you. So I'm sorry, but I admit, like, who said that they was asking you, did you make money? Just an average person or somebody you trying to?
Yeah, this is an average person. You know what? This was an average person who I get in my CD, and my CD just came out. I don't know, maybe three weeks ago, folks. So but this was an average person who I didn't make pay for my CD. A lot of times I'll make people pay for my CD purchase because if somebody pays for something, that's something that they enjoy and they pay for. A lot of times you try to force your music or give somebody something, then they think it's not valuable. And this particular person was a waitress, and I didn't feel like while they were out working and earning their tips that I should make them pay for my CD. And then I gave this person my CD, and that person disrespected me. And I didn't disrespect them and their profession. And I just had to realize to myself, look, being in the arts is hard. If it was easy, everybody would do it. There's a lot of people that will make a lot more money than me in the music and don't have as much talent as me. I understand and respect that. That's nothing to me. You know what? I've had more opportunity, and I've gotten more love, and I've gotten more understanding from the 5% of the people that have enjoyed and understood my music than I ever would have if I never made music. So you just got to look at the positives in life. But, yeah, I'll put it this way. I don't think that successful people like, let's say Drake or somebody, I do believe that Drake experiences 75% hate and 25% love. It just so happens that his 25% love is in the millions. You know, and I think I'm the same person as, like, I get 75% hate and 25% love, but my 25% love is in the tens or hundreds. So, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you know what? You got to start somewhere because even Drake didn't start out with millions, so, you know.
I don't think it gets any easier whether you make a million or don't make a million. I'm like, people are going to say, I'll put it this way. It's funny we bring up Drake. There's been people in the last few days that are just like, hey, did you know he's this? Did you know he's that? Who gives a shit? The boy's there. You know what I mean? I like the way his timing is. And he ain't my favorite rapper. I listen to R&B. You know, just like you listen to rock. I don't know, or make or create rock. I don't really know what you listen to. You create rock music. I listen to R&B almost, like, specifically. Like, almost like that's all. I really don't listen to rap. The only rap I really listen to is my shit because I work on it constantly. And really, but if you look at my whole project, when I started my project, I wanted it to kind of be like Big L when I was like Lifestyles of the Porn and Dangerous. It was all about lyrics. But I just figured I'd throw some females on the hooks. And then when I feel out how complicated the music that I dreamt of was, it didn't turn out to be anything like I thought it was. That is the thing, and I stuck by it. I'm going to stick by it. And, girl, we all keep doing the things we do and being musicians and being artists, and you just never know. And that's the thing. We're always a breakaway or a breakout away, so you just can't let it get to your mentality if you're an artist trying to make it. And I'll have actually the balls that a lot of people don't fucking have. I'll tell you and everybody in the world I'm trying to make it. I don't care who hurts me if I don't. I'm trying to make it.
Okay, now hold on. Now let's back this up. Now you're saying that you're trying. One thing, change the word trying to working on, and I am. So that's one thing. But another thing, too, is that you're talking about you're trying to make it. That means you have to enter the industry, okay? And now, or you have to take a different way of doing it so that you can make it if you don't want to be in the industry. So
right.
That is where your conflict is at, because you, if you come to me or any, I'm a regular person, you come to me, you say, I'm trying to make it. And it's like, well, why don't you just do, because I know you had the argument about the mixtape. So everybody like, do the mixtape and get yourself out there and then do this and then do that. And you're like, that's not what I want to do. I want to work on my music. That's all well and good, but still and still, a lot of times when you're introducing something new to people
right.
want to be basically a mixtape is a rope to kind of bring people in. And that's what a mixtape is. You do a couple of songs off of beats that people automatically connect to, and then you do a hot verse over it. You catch attention. You catch attention that makes money. Then you can come and spoon feed them what you really want to do, and once you do that, that's how people grow. And that is what I'm talking about as far as a blueprint, as far as what you're trying to do. As far as the blueprint, as far as rock is concerned, you're supposed to get a band and you're supposed to play. You're supposed to play every week at least once a week at different venues everywhere, building your audience. The thing is that for me, I don't have a band, and it's very hard for me to keep a band. I've been through so many different bands, between cover bands to rock bands to whatever type of fucking bands, background singing, everything. And the thing is, I haven't even been in enough circles long enough so people think that I'm not in one scene, so they think that I haven't been doing it because they see me in and out. There are so many different pockets in Philly of so many different scenes that you're going to meet so many different people, you know, and that's a whole nother subject that I'm going to get into. But the thing is that there is, as far as rock is concerned, but it's been very hard for me to, you know, do that because it's hard for me to get a band together.
Right.
And once you get a band together, then you're supposed to basically create yourself and then play all the time so that people can see you. And then people are supposed to see you, you know what I mean? And then you're supposed to miraculously just get picked, and they're supposed to just see you and sign you, and then you're supposed to be all over the world. And even
no,
to that,
it's
that's
not
a false expectation as well. So, you know, for me, I have to basically blend. Now, since my music is a blend of everything, I'm pretty blessed where I don't have to try and really have a band or anything like that. I can just work
right.
with lots of different producers, get some bands
really?
Together, and I can create with other musicians. And then I just create what I create, because the thing is I love everything, even stupid-ass little Miley Cyrus' songs. They're fucking catchy. I like them. You got everything, and Lady Gaga.
Oh, I told you. I love pop.
To everything like that. You know what I mean? So, and I like everything, but everything has its place. You know what I'm saying?
That,
and a lot of my music, that's what it's basically doing. It takes a little bit of everything.
You might take one of your songs, you might put Miley Cyrus on it, and it might be a huge pop hit. And that's marketing, and it's it would be a huge market, big dollar feature. Feature vocals are crazy in the industry. There's a lot of bullshit out there. I think a lot of the shit has always been like, how does that bullshit make it, and I'm not making it? And that's
because
most times,
you know how people always say most people can't sell themselves? It's
yeah.
the same thing as being an artist. It's hard for a lot of artists, and just people in general, cannot stand outside of themselves and understand and objectively look at themselves and say, I know what's wrong with me. Because I have a problem with that, and I believe that I'm a very open, I know what some of my problems are, and that's why I won't even put myself into certain situations, because I already know what the answer is. But some people will sit up there, and you'll tell them, and a million other people will tell them, and then you're like, well, that's not what it is. And it's, the thing is, it's like a million other people just told you. So why are you – the thing is, a lot of people will see things in you that you don't see. So a lot of times I take what they say into consideration, especially the people that love what I do and that push me and the emails that I get through Facebook and many different other things. So I take what they say into consideration. For the longest, people, I mean, it took me the longest just to even try and, I guess, or work on becoming an artist. Because honestly, I really didn't have a desire. I just enjoyed singing, and that's just what it was. You know, and it's still to a certain point, I still enjoy singing, and that's just what I want to do. You know, I have no problem, you know, singing covers. I'm making a good living off of what I'm doing, and then on the side, I can work on my artistry. You know what I'm saying? I just came to a couple people that's just really where they wanted to push me. So from there, it's like now I really got to, you know, they're telling me all these different things. It's like, you know, that's, you know, you're putting too much on me. I just want to do what I feel. That's the whole point of artistry. You know, if you want to make money, then you should have the money to back me to put me in a place where I need to be if you need me to be a pussycat doll. You know what I'm saying? Because then that's just what that is. You know, you might call it selling out. I don't call it selling out because to a certain extent, that's a part of me. You know, I would love to dance around and be sexy on stage and sing my little heart out as a pussycat doll. I have no problem. You know, everybody's not a pussycat doll. Some people are Lauryn Hill. Other people are Rick Ross. And that's, you know, and I went on the internet and I looked up Rick Ross, Blowing Money Fast. And I was like, I got this. I remember the first time I heard this. And I was like, what the fuck is this? Because, you know, a couple of them was like, I think I'm Big Meats, Larry Hoover, Whipping Work, Hallelujah, One Nation, Under God, real niggas getting money from the fucking start. Now, the thing is that, you know, it's so plain, so simple, but everybody in the club is saying these words, and you're just like, oh, my God, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The thing is that music is to the core, and most of the time it's simple. Sometimes people want to have all, you know, it's like most of the musicians and stuff. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, most of the musicians, we have these arguments, and they're like, real music is this, and real music is that. What is real music? If your music is so intricate and nobody can fucking fathom it, and you want to be, especially like jazz people, oh, my God. Don't get me wrong, I like some of it, but some of that jazz is too all over the place. You can't understand. If somebody cannot catch a groove, and nod their head to it, you're basically putting yourself with other musicians, and those are the ones that's going to love your shit. It's not going to be the average person, because the average person don't want to hear all of that complicated shit because they can't understand it.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying, like, you know, not saying that you should be a Rick Ross or anything like that, but sometimes there is a formula that you can take from to create what you're making. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because there has been a blueprint and a formula that has been made. I mean, even Jay-Z. All right, prime example.
But then again, like, Jay-Z didn't
make no, because he was one of the most successful people, right, as far as the rap is concerned right now, because he basically went from the streets rapping, successful rapping, and became a businessman. Okay, so with that said, you know, even Jay-Z, he kept his style. He kept who he was, but still kept the formula and evolved with the times. Remember when everybody had those little baby voices on his song, and then he took the little clip from "It's a Hard Knock Life." For
it did anybody?
It's a Hard Knock Life. Do you think he changed
he
that out years later? Hold on, yes, he killed it. But the thing is that years later he came back out and was like, yeah, that was corny. It was whatever. Or he said something like that. I'm trying to look it up on the internet right now. But even Jay-Z kept to a formula and stayed with the time, because that's what you have to do. Look at Beyonce. The only reason why, to a certain extent, she stays on top is because she has basically morphed herself into every goddamn musical icon, and every time a new person comes out, she makes sure she collaborates with them. If you got a fucking musical mogul going on, like Lady Gaga came out, she had to do something like that. Then she had to change up her whole style, and now she want to do all this like high avant-garde shit, which honestly, to my honestly, to me, think that she should have been on that before Lady Gaga came out. But to a certain extent, she's like, she is so high up and so far on top that basically she's got to have all these people underneath her telling her what's new, what's hot, and what she should do. Even Jay-Z, to a certain extent, has done that. Every time a new hot beat comes out, he jumps on it. What was that Indian song that he did? That you know that Indian song that he did?
Jay.
You know, yeah, Jay-Z, he jumped on that. He's been doing a couple of things like that, too. And that's how you have to make yourself stay relevant, you know? And if the top is doing it, and if you're working on making it, and if you want to be at the top, you got to follow what the top people do. You know what I'm saying? Because
the
way that this business is, it's very hard for you to try and come and circumvent everything that everybody else is doing. Even when Jay-Z came out, I'm sure that he did what everybody else did.
Yeah, he did, but he failed at that. And the thing is that,
How did he sell it?
But you gotta remember, I'm 29 years old though, Persia. I ain't chasing nobody now. I ain't making.
Nope. Nobody's saying.
I can tell the whole world I'm not gonna make a mixtape. Like, everybody knows that shit. Everybody knows that was my heart that I put into my EP. Everybody knows that this is produced music. It's not a mixtape. These are his original music. And I feel like if I had a verse good enough, put on a mixtape, I would probably try to compose a song out of it. I'm just a musician. Mixtapes weren't the fuck around when Jay-Z did Reasonable Doubt. Jay-Z never put a mixtape. Why doesn't Jay-Z put mixtapes out there? To me, a mixtape is a fucking half-ass album. To me it is. To me, that's why these days, if you see Fabulous and you see the Bull Yellow fucking Wolf or whatever his name is, their mixtapes are so good, their record labels are now releasing them as albums. You know, just to see if they can get some buys. Mixtapes are one thing. The fact of the matter is what I'm trying to do is now, basically, the only route that I have to expose my music is the press. So that's what I'm doing. I'm working with my people. I'm trying, you know what I mean? I had a few of my songs posted on XXL, songs posted on the Hip Hop DX, songs posted on allhiphop.com, and we're trying to get editorials in the Source magazine right now. We're trying to get me Unsigned Hype. And the whole part of my story that my people are working on, that's my slant, the whole slant to my music is that this guy won't make a mixtape. The whole slant we're bringing to the media is the fact that this is the person who dedicated their lives and their livelihood and 4 years of their time to make music that they believed in, and they weren't chasing anything. I mean, I never really did chase anything. And even though you're right, I can't say you're wrong in anything you do, but it's like at 29, I'm not 16. If I was 16, I would say try anything. At this point, I'm a man. I'm going to make the music I love and live or die, you know, win, lose, or draw, baby. I did it, and you know what? I did what a lot of people who make mistakes don't do, is go out to their fucking dreams. A lot of people just want to put a mixtape. Look, let's face the truth.
So you're saying that that person that does a mixtape is not going after their dreams?
Yeah. I'm saying that they're looking for a magic carpet ride, period. Because how many mixtapes come out and how many people who put out mixtapes get anywhere? I mean, it's 99.9% against you, and 99.9% against me. So I think, why change my game and follow everybody else when I'm 29. Like, I was rapping 15, I was rapping 20 years ago. You know, like,
maybe just those people that don't make it just might not be what people connect to. Maybe they're not that talented. You know, you can measure talent to a certain extent, you know. But, you know, it could be just that because, you know, I don't, I don't think that, I mean, my dream period was to have a successful cover band. You know what I'm saying? But other people saw me as a star, and that's how they want to push me. And it's just like, you know, and it's cool, but, right, you know, it's not saying I never wanted to write songs or anything like that, but that's why I just wanted to, you know, do cover songs. And cover songs could be looked at to it, I guess, even to a certain extent, especially people that do it, especially rock musicians. They hate it. They cannot stand people that sing other people's songs. And I just look at it as, once again, it's the business of music and what people already connect to. And people want to connect to stuff that they already understand. They don't want to have to learn something new, especially if they're just going out to get drunk and enjoy themselves. They don't want to have to listen to four different bands. Two of them suck. They only know one of them. And they got to sit up here and wait through three of the bands that they don't even care about. Or they, the whole time, because I don't know if you've ever, I'm sure that you have, but it's the same thing even when you go into, like, the rappers' events and stuff, and it's like, oh, like, everybody's trying to rap, but it's only about four of y'all that's any good. But most of y'all don't handle, y'all don't work on y'all stage presence, y'all don't try and watch nobody else to see what y'all supposed to fucking do. What y'all rhyming about to a certain extent is irrelevant, or is not believable because of your tone or anything like that, and it's like, the only thing you've got going for you is the fact that it is mixtape. So that part of it, when you say that they're not going anywhere, part of that just is the fact that they're just not talented at all. But mixtapes, to a certain extent, you know, especially if you're feeling, because it's songs that I've worked on that I, you know, I wait for them to get mixed. I don't care. I like the feel of the song, and it evoked me to write something. And for that reason is why I do it. It's not for any other reason.
True.
You know what I'm saying? So that's why I do it, because I love to do it. And that's how I treat it. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. But then again, I've never listened to a mixtape. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't care about mixtapes. I don't like that kind of music. A lot of my music is really soft. And I make the kind of music that I love. And an artist like me who comes along and will actually, here's the thing that I get, Persia. Nobody out there that I meet, no artist I meet will lay it on the line like I will. No artist will lay the money out I do. No artist will lay the time out I do. No artist, no rap artist at 29 is going to be sitting here trying to convince people of something they're not. It's impossible. I took a hard route, and I'm just going to stick by it and work with it. And here's the thing. Who cares? In the end, it's all about, I'll put it this way. I don't think that being Beyonce is really realistic for a million out of a million and one artists. This is a girl who was cultivated by her family and had a huge talent. Huge. I don't think that being Jay is possible. Jay made it out of a million rappers, and he outsmarted every fucking single one of them. I am not about to outsmart a million to one people. I've proved that in my life enough times. I just think that the most important part of my life is being real, being true to myself. My album is called Always True, and that's what I'm going to be, always true. If you're always true to yourself, then you can be true to the world. And without that, music is lost, and music is not real. So there's always going to be an artist like me that people might say I never made it, and they don't understand I didn't make it. 4 years ago, I had nothing. I was homeless. 4 years ago, I had a pair of sneaks without socks. 4 years ago, I had a pair of black shorts and a pair of white beater with a bunch of holes in it. I wore it every day. And I had a dream. Here I am 4 years later. I have lived my dreams, and I'm living my dreams. And I'm so damn stubborn, and I'm so set into my ways, and I'll never change. So as much as I love everyone, I don't opinionize people, and I don't judge them, because I just want them. Actually, in the end, man, I want people to respect me for what I did, whether I make it or not. Even though you're not going to get it from 99% of people, who gives a shit? 99.9% of people, and I don't give a fuck if you're an attorney, A&R, if you're a musician, if you're a producer, 99% of people, I don't give a fuck what you call about yourself, you don't fucking know music anyway. And I just thought that when I met you, I was like, Persia Sound knows music, and that's why she's strong enough to fucking be herself and make the kind of music that she is. I mean, put it this way, it ain't like you tried to cultivate yourself to what people wanted you to sing. You didn't do that, and that's why I love you, baby girl. You're the best.
Thank you, sweetheart. Yeah, because it's kind of hard to, like, basically bring everything that I love together. You know what I'm saying? And,
Girl, I'm telling you, man, you are literally, and that's why I love being from Philly, that I know people like you. You are everything that is real. You are everything that is real about music. And here it is. We literally, man, we're in the same boat exactly. And as much as both of us, as bad as both of us want a certain level of recognition or reckoning or success or anything, I'm telling you, girl, I couldn't change you even if I tried. And that's the way I am, and that's the way our city is. This is the kind of music people make. We're from a diverse place. We got to face it. Where we live, we don't get industry shine. There is no TIs from our area. There is nobody really making it on a commercial level. So in order for me to do it, I would have to be the only one. And what are the chances of that? What are the chances of anybody doing anything? And all I can do is try my hardest. And my hardest is fucking damn good. That's why, until the end, fuck it, man. I don't really think anybody who is a real musician is going to change. It's impossible. Here's the thing. Your music might, a million people might like it, or 100 people might like it. If it was between 100 and a million, I would say change. And if it wasn't between that much of a big difference, don't change. If somebody came to me with $1 million version and was like, do a cover song, well, fuck, I'll do it. $1 million, I got a whole family, Persia. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, that's not going to happen, so I have to make it my way or not.
Hey, you never know. Somebody might come to you and say, do a cover song. They want you to redo the Sugar Hill Gang song.
For $1 million, I'll be like, I'll get up there and dance a fucking tutu for $1 million, but $1 million is hard to come by, baby. $1 million, girl, I'll take you all over the world if I had $1 million, but they're not just going to hand it to me, baby. We got to get out and get it. We got to go out and take it.
Yeah, basically.
You're the best, girl, and you know what? You're the movement, girl. You are the movement, and for real, you were out. Listen, you just really, really, really push everybody to try hard. You're definitely one of the greatest, greatest performers. You're definitely one of the greatest acts we got in Philly. We all respect you the most. For the sad, it was my pleasure to be a guest on your radio talk show, and most definitely, yo, this is why I call this shit up. I really only call it up so I can have Persia Sound set me straight. You know what I mean? So it's always a pleasure to have.
Let me play another song, and we can get back to talking. Let me play another one of your songs. This one is When I Come Home.
Let me hit it.
Favorites, so they fist out, get my luggage when I'm on hiatus. My life savings in my pocket, it's a couple hundred. I just got fired or quit it, however do you want it? I bought a ticket to cross to make some Dixon line. I arrived already in Carolina in my mind. Sipping Jack out the flask, I sit in the back. Pass liquor to passion, just sip it to laugh. Joke with old folks who never seen a sober day. I show love to smoke them up on an overlay. I sleep it when I open, you don't wanna brush a truffle. I hate to brush a bubble, you don't wanna touch my duffel. I shoplift in every place at this bus stop. I like Skittles, Mike and Ike, soda pop. The system always makes me turn my driver's license in. So I step off this Greyhound and start my life again.
Can you feel the vibe? Can you feel the vibe? Carolina ride, cause that's my home. I feel the vibe, I feel the vibe.
white and black. Life looked different from the sunset at the bluff. All I had was my East Pack and a block to puff. Nights on that wool since 20, I never let go. I love the low patches, they let me crash in the echo. Neil, look up and free, I know I can't stay. And I was heading east on my way from LA.
A little bit about this song and, you know, what made you come up with that? Babe? Oh, shit, I think we lost him. Let me see. All right, well, we're going to open up a line. We got some hands up. I'm going to turn them off. Hey, babe?
Hey, hey.
Yeah, so it must have automatically cut off. Anyway, tell us about this song. And I had to walk back over to the computer because I'm walking around with the phone in my hand. But tell us a little bit about that song and, you know, what made
you... Oh, that song, girl, it's good. It's that song basically, I would have to say, out of the history of hip-hop music. Now, you had a lot of songs that were maybe 100 bars by Cannabis. This is the only 800-word song in the history of hip-hop music that was arranged originally. And when I say that, that means... Even though there's repetition within a section, maybe a bridge or a hook, there is not a repeated bridge or hook in that song. Every breakdown or hook in that song is dedicated to the verse. So it's 800 completely original lyrics. It's something that we actually brought in a seven-piece choir. Like, literally, one of the persons in that choir is, like, $100,000 full-ride scholarship, Colorado University. They're all literally alumni of an internationally recognized choir under the direction and of conductor Dr. Joseph Bohr, who I had in the studio to actually conduct the part. I wrote and arranged the entire choir part from front to back. People might not understand that. When you hear that song, you're getting the artist. What the song is about, essentially, is just moments of hopelessness. And the song is about stringing straw into gold. That is what the song is about. It's about taking these little pieces of your life where you were completely hopeless and you're still alive. And now I made music about it. So that is the realest part of the song, that each of three, it's not a complete story. Each verse is its own story. Each verse is in a different city. Each verse is its own tone and everything. And it was just the fact, the level we took it musically, made people love and embrace it. If I didn't take that song musically to the level that my imagination took it to, nobody would care about my thoughts. Nobody would care about these moments. Nobody would really feel what I was saying if I didn't put melody and rhythm to it. So that song right there is the blues, and that's what I sing a lot of the time. I sing the blues, or I sing literally, I'm doing what they call emo rap. You know, it's emotional rap music. And point out too, please, Persia, I do sing my own bridges and own hooks in the song. So even though I'm not the best singer in the world, when you listen to that song, you're hearing a one-take song. Like, I took that song in one take, and the people that were in the studio, my brother, my producer, my friends, they never even heard me sing before. I did that, like, in front of everybody, and we never, ever changed a verse. We never, ever retook a verse. We never retook a line, because what you're hearing is real poetry. You would actually have to be a fan of that song to ever memorize the lyrics. God, folks, you'll never memorize the lyrics. It was hard enough for me. Persian, love you, baby.
Nobody will ever memorize the lyrics?
It's impossible. It's impossible.
Impossible.
Oh, come on. It'd be like memorizing a whole fucking movie, man. It's impossible. It almost can't be performed live. I would need a choir. I would need two male vocalists. I would need bass. I mean, come on, girl. It would be out of control, man.
Out of control. So. I can understand it. I can believe it. So, well, since you're not going to do a mixtape and you're not going to follow supposedly somewhat of a blueprint that has been established in this new day and age, what do you think?
That's not true, though, Persia.
What do you think an artist should do to basically get exposure and get yourself out there?
If I had any advice to an artist, exactly what you're saying, is do exactly what I did. You don't have to make the kind of music I do. If you wanted to really make, this is kind of what we touched on earlier. It depends on what kind of music you really, really, really want to make. It's like, go out, find the producers that you think are the best. Contact them. Take the doors down. That's what I had to do. I had to make people listen to me. I wanted to own my own masters. You don't have to own your own masters. You can have a producer or an independent label. I wanted to be my own label. I wanted to be my own producer. I wanted to be my, but I had to reach out and find all of these great talents. Like, I would say do the same thing. I got my own PR. Nobody in Philly told me to do this or do that, or nobody told me to do shit. I went out and did it on my own. I would say follow my exact same blueprint, except maybe if you feel like you can make a kind of music that'll reach further or get more response, do that. I would say take my same blueprint, but I would just say that Dirty Dirt Baby is going to be Dirty Dirt. He's going to be DDB. He's going to make the kind of music he wants. But the way I approach the game was something that should be admired. The way I approach the game is something that should be followed, because in the current age, it's almost like record labels expect you to do it already. They expect you to be able to go out and find the best engineers, producers, musicians, mastering engineers, best manufacturers. They expect that already. They expect you to be a success before they can loan you money. I'm a wild card, but like I said, this is my life story. It's not everybody's.
And remember, that's not even really them loaning you money. Like, I mean, it is loaning you money, but it's just like, it's not even a true investment, because even true investors don't, like, it's like, I don't know, like, how the whole business is like, crazy as far as how that works.
But, I'll put it this way. Like, my investors.
But if you go in as a band, it's really hard, especially, but if you go in as a single artist, and you can basically, and if you're marketable, now, you know, in whatever aspect, but I believe that everybody's marketable to a certain extent, but I don't think that they really want musicians or artists that really can move, like, you know, when it was supposedly better music back in the day when you were singing about war, free love, and all these kind of other things, too political. And music, you know, a famous song by Madonna, you know, the name of the song, Music. But if you really listen to the lyrics and stuff, it was kind of a cheesy song. But if you listen to the lyrics, music makes the bourgeoisie want to rebel.
Right.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And, like, it's really true, you know. It makes, it connects on any level, you know. Like, it, sometimes you just listen to a beat and it will make you angry. Like, some of the rock music, it make you angry. Some, you know, the crunk music with rap and hip-hop and all that. Like, certain music, the way that that bass hits you, the way that the taps are, or you got a sexy song, and it's just the way that it lays, it makes you feel sexy. It makes you feel angry. It makes you feel happy. And that is one thing that human beings have, is emotion that can make them not think clearly. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah.
To a certain extent, you know, it's like you have to pay attention to things like that, because music is such an intuitive thing, and it's such a powerful thing. And that's why a lot of times with the industry, they try to get the young kids because they want to cultivate them and basically, you know, make them into what they want to do, and the industry controls the emotion that this artist is basically bringing to the public. And when they control that emotion, those emotions equate to dollars. And that's what the business is all about. You know, I mean, even if you're just working on your art just to be an artist, you still have to basically make a living. You don't want to be, you know, broke at it even. I think that is what it makes successful. You know, you want to basically, you know, have your music and be able to make a living off of it, you know. And that's why, to a certain extent, when you're doing music, it's kind of like you're running for president or you're running for, to be king or queen.
Because no, that's exact. You're exactly right.
The people who are doing it are basically like, you know, your subjects or whatever. I don't even go all into that, but you know, these are the people that follow you and they elevate you to make you who you are. I mean, these are like inside conversations that most of these artists won't talk about, but that's basically what they're doing when they do these things. You know what I'm saying? And to a certain extent, maybe not even the industry, sometimes because of the people that you have and they're following you, they want to live vicariously through you, whatever your reason is for being an artist. Sometimes the people want to live vicariously through you. Other times they want you to say the things that they can't say. And that's usually what the music is about. You know? Either you're overly sexy, like, you know.
Oh, you're exactly right. And
like Freaka, or, you know,
I'll give an example. An example would be Lupe Fiasco. I think no matter how many fans he has, I really do think they loved it when he was on the radio with the Superstar, you know, You Are Who You Are song.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. They're Lupe Fiasco fans. When their artist that they love the most and have supported is on the radio, they're fucking out of their minds. They're loving it. I told you guys, this is my boy Lupe. And as time went on, the big struggle went with him and his label. His label was like, we don't have any more hits. We're not going to release your record. We're not going to put any more money in behind it. Your fans might be mad or blah, 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 but they're not mad at the label. They're mad at Lupe. I'm not mad at the label, Atlantic Records. I'm mad at Lupe. I'm like, why aren't you giving them the shit that they want? So there's two sides. And Lupe is probably like me. He's probably like Jarek. I want to fucking express myself. I want to do it my way. I make my fucking fuck. You know? And in the end, if you try to please people, you're going to fail before you even start.
Yeah.
It'd be different. Girl, if we had $1 million in our own label, okay, I have my own label, but I don't have $1 million. So maybe we might be able to construct a hit music act. But here's the thing. What if the people you were trying to construct had their own feelings? Let's say you were on a label and somebody was like, no, girl. You might like rock music here, but you'll be successful if you sing this song in this style. there you go. It's the same point, is that whatever. I'll put it this way. We're all as artists, whether you're Jay or whether you're Persia Sal or DDB or anybody, we all want to make the kind of artwork that we admire. We're going to try to make the kind of artwork that we love the most. We're going to literally make the music that we like. That's the thing that the industry doesn't control. If I was on a label right now, they would control me. I'm not. If I was on a label, I might make more money, but if my album is not good enough, they won't release it anyway. So it's almost like...
And that's not even true. I mean, there are a lot of people that have good albums that don't get released, and for me, it's kind of crazy because, I mean, even though that these labels make so much money, you don't realize how many quote-unquote failures they get through these labels, because you might be the one to two successful artists that are being launched and you're successful. And you look at it like the label is making so much money off of you, but it's like half of that money is basically going back into the people that work for you, and the other half is going back into the money that they lost off of everybody else.
Oh, you're for sure right. Labels don't make any money off the artists now unless they're a huge hit. I mean, you look at Atlantic Records, they have 135 artists, and I will tell you straight up, 125 of them you've probably never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
120 of them, they've lost hundreds of thousands of dollars. 100 out of them, they've lost millions. So I'll put it this way. It only takes one hit from somebody like T.I. It takes one hit from somebody like Kid Rock to keep that label going. That's what they want. They want T.I. They want a Kid Rock. They want money makers. They don't want Johnny Dirt Baby. They're going to be like, why don't you change your name to this? Why don't you make this kind of music? And it's like, y'all motherfuckers. Hey, they ain't on the label. When they go into their personal bank account, right, and put over $100,000 behind their music, I'll respect their opinions. Until then, at least respect me. You don't have to respect me because of my success level. You don't have to respect me because of how much money I make or what label I sign to. Respect the artists just because, fuck it, they're really good. And they love their music so much that they dedicated to it and they risked for it. Respect them. That's all really I want is reckoning. It's not about that. I feel like if I make the kind of music and build the kind of career for myself and I get that kind of reckoning, I'll do all right with money. I might even maybe make a buck or two. If not, I'll make zero. I'll take a fucking $100,000 loss. The point is, I feel like if I change or rearrange myself, I do feel like that name, man. I'm not 16 years old. I'm just making the kind of music that I love. And I feel like hopefully people will love it too. If not, hey, I never took shit off anyone in my whole life, Persian. I don't think I'm about to start now, babe.
No, I feel you. And I totally agree with you on that too. It's like, you know, I think that it's a day and age now where people don't have to compromise what they want to do. Because I've seen people that I think, you know, if you want to say crap music or whatever. But the thing is that they got, you know, they basically have turned it into dollars as far as people are
yeah.
coming out
no,
and they're
right.
buying the albums and they're supporting these people. And it's
right.
like, I was one time I had a conversation. He's like, you ever heard of such and such band? I was like, yeah. And this dude went crazy over it. And I was like, I just don't get it. Like, you know what I mean? And
right.
that was just my personal thing about it. I just really didn't get what they saw in this band that they were telling me about. It's like, I mean, they're cool, but they just really don't do anything for me. Like, and that was just pretty much it, you know? But,
I'll put it this way.
That's why I say it's all a matter of what people think, feel, want, and if you're doing what you love to do.
I'll put it this way. You're right. You know how you say about mixtapes?
Mm-hmm.
You're right about that. Because, like, I don't have no excuses. I'm 29. I'm a white dude. But here's the thing. The boy Yellow Wolf is 30, and he's a white dude. So he just signed a deal. I mean, this year just signed a deal with Jimmy Iovine and Interscope. So he's up there with Eminem and 50 Cent and them now. And
yeah.
here's the thing. Before that, I had attorneys telling me, well, sorry, the labels aren't signing white people anymore, sorry. He didn't know what the fuck he was talking about. If he did, that would mean that people like Yellow Wolf wouldn't be possible. And Yellow Wolf got signed by making mixtapes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But who do I listen to? If I listen to the people saying make mixtapes, I might fail. If I listen to people saying that white rappers aren't getting signed anymore, I might fail. It's almost at some point, who do I listen to? And at some point, you got to be like, I'm just going to follow my dreams. I'm just going to listen to my heart. I'm going to follow myself. And wherever the fuck it gets me, at least I know I didn't fail because of anyone else. I failed or I made it because of myself. And that's half the satisfaction.
And you know what? And you're so right with that, you know. But, I mean, could you at least agree, or maybe not? I don't really care your opinion. But certain things, you know, give you exposure, and that they should be used as a tool. Because now when you're saying that you want to do your art or whatever and do it the way that you want to do it, you have to remember that you are a business. You know what I'm saying? And there are aspects of the business that you just may not like, you know, but it works. And it's,
that's
and
true,
it's,
but you know,
I do other
businesses. Like I have public relations people that represent me and that are trying to get me in the source, Unsigned Hype. Now think about it. Unsigned Hype is about 12 artists a year. For the last 10 years, you about had 100 artists. How many people are out there putting out mixtapes? How many people are going to get any real press? None of them. So you got to look at it like, at least I'm doing smart things. If I'm going to stick to my guns and be willing to take my hits, at least I'm doing smart things that a lot of these mixtape tape artists aren't doing. You know, so.
You know, 50 Cent, that's how he got his following. Through
who's that?
Tape.
50 Cent. Who's 50 Cent. Yeah, 50 Cent. You know what? I can't argue you, though. It's hard for me to place an argument against you on the mixtape thing. I can only tell you I can only tell you I'm not going to do it. I can't beat you in the argument because you have too many.
I'm just being devil's advocate right now. You can do anything.
I'm
just asking you.
No, you're right though. So it's hard for me to argue somebody who's right.
Biggie Smalls did mixtape.
Biggie Smalls got on Unsigned Hype though, didn't he? He was one of 129 artists in the last 15 years that got on Unsigned Hype. So, I mean, you gotta figure it's like at some point I have to take a different route. And not only that, I'm well aware of my circumstances, and I just welcome it because I just feel like I could. You know what? My strongest point is not my making a mixtape or anything. My strongest point is how hard of a fighter I am. And the strongest point is how persistent I am and how real I am. And at some point, that's going to personify through the music. But, you know, that's what we do. We're musicians. It's going to be real. especially per the sound. See, the real is the real, baby. Y'all check it out.
Well, you know, for me, my satisfaction that I get from the music is basically connecting to other people or when I perform and bringing people together. That's basically what it's about. You know what I mean? That's why I love to cook and, you know, invite people over and we have dinner and, you know what I'm saying? So those are the things that I like and I enjoy. So, you know.
Wow, man. Y'all having dinner and shit. I'm hungry. I'm not there. You know what I mean? You know, I like mashed potatoes and gravy, green beans, chicken. And I'm just telling you what I like in case you ever want to invite me over. Gravy on the green beans, too. Whatever. I mean, this music. But, oh, this is music, but, folks, I do love food, too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. And that's basically, like, that's why I say, like, with the cover bands, I just thought it was, like, more of an extension of that, you know what I mean? And, you know, a lot of times, and that's why, like, some of these bands, like, they're really good, But it's like they just up there. It was all right. So I went to a music seminar, right? It was up in New York. And it was like this guy who teaches stage, what the hell? He does like stage workshops on how to do better stage performances.
Right.
And basically what he did, it was like three people who made it there. Don't know how they got on there, but they never wanted to say it. I think it's just personally picked. So they had this one band that made it. They were good. But he's put in his words that basically you were up there doing, you know, performance masturbation up on stage. Because when he was up on stage, it was like all about him. He did not connect with the people on, you know, that were there to see him. And I was like, you know what, I totally agree, because it was like he's just up there gyrating with these fucking shiny fucking tights on, showing his balls and running back and forth across the fucking stage. And it's like, okay, you know what I mean? Is there not, like, connect with me. You know, if you definitely, and see this band, they definitely brought people there. Like, I had another one of my friends, another band that I personally know, I love them. I think they put great music together. But their stage performance is so, like, robots on stage. It's like, even how they trying to connect to the people is like robots. It's like, they're not even robots, because you're not even talking. Like, when you talk to an audience, you're supposed to wait for them to say something back to you. You know what I mean? And I think that's part of my success as far as when I perform, is because I actually talk. But that's personal. That's one of my personal, you know, things. Some of these artists, I've talked to them, and you could tell this is all about them. They could fucking care less. They up there doing what they do, and it's all about them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
For me, that's not what it's about, because these people came out to see a show, but they wanted to connect. And, you know, you just getting up there singing what's off of your CD is just not enough. I mean, it's just not enough for me personally, because if you just want to do what you did off of your CD, I can fucking pop your CD in and listen to it. Or matter of fact, you go ahead and do a live show and then, you know, post up the live performance, and then I'll just listen to it at home. Because other than that, if you're not going to give me more, I don't want to fucking see you. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'll tell you what, this is professional sports. I mean, it's no different. You're dealing with an arena of people who are the most talented in their field. And I'll tell you what, I don't give a fuck who I see and go to see. I expect to see a show. And when I perform with people, I expect that to give them a show where they feel like they were like, we just had fun. I don't care. If people see me perform live and they had fun, I don't care. If I fall off the stage and they laugh and I get back on and continue, I don't care. I don't care. As long as it's all real and it's all fun. That is so rare nowadays. It's so rare. Hey, look, I'm not somebody out there making music and performing because I'm trying to make it and become a millionaire and ride around in limousines. That's what the fuck, that's what the beautiful part
about. I would like to be
that,
but you know what? I could do that and be a cover band, or I could be that and be a promotional manager. I want to ride around and fucking make limousines and shit. I ain't going to sit up here and hold you or front on you either. You know what I mean?
Artists have dreams, girl. Artists have dreams, and it's like you're always a breakaway from doing it. I'm always a breakaway from doing it. And we understand our circumstances. We come out there and we give y'all, me and Persia will give y'all all our best every single time. We are going to pour our hearts out on our music. We are going to find the best people. We are going to link together with the best people who care the most. And no matter what, we're going to give it to the end. To the end of the road, we're going to give it all out. And I think that is the most least selfish thing. And I think that's what separates real artists. And when I say real artists, I mean people like me and you who have a very special, distinct quality about their shit. It's because we're not doing this for a specific purpose other than literally being a positive, being somebody people can feel, be expressing ourselves so we don't go fucking crazy, period. Now, if we can be a smart business and make it work, if you can make smart covers, if I can get a song to blow up in a movie, if I can get my music distributed, all the better. But I'm telling you what, girl, I'm the captain. I run my fucking ship, and if my ship goes down, I I will go down with it, period. And I'm not only a musician, I'm not only a label owner, I'm not only a fucking writer and a producer, I'm also a fucking cowboy. So that's the thing about the new independent music age. If anybody got enough balls of DDP, step up and be a fucking cowboy. And that's what's beautiful right now. I don't think 10 years, I think 15 years ago, they'd have been like, yes or no. And nowadays, I'm like, I'm not taking no, I'm going to put it out anyway. You know, that is part of being a fucking cowboy, which is that I am a person with my gun on my holster, hypothetically. I have my gun on my holster. I'm going do or die. I don't care. This is my personality personifies through my music, whether I give a soft song, whether I do $5 hooker, whether I do my song Who I Am, whether
and
I
you
do...
And you know, I thought you were going to send me that song, too, because I did want to play it. I liked that song, too. You didn't ever send me the main one.
Oh, yeah, I thought you had that one. Oh, yeah, and if anybody were a kid, you know, you could still download my music for free at ReverbNation.com. You can get my music, download it for free. You can buy it at iTunes. You can purchase it. You can purchase my EP through FYE and get it mailed to your house. There's all kinds of, anybody who wants their music for free right now can get it. My music is available for free. It's available to be bought and downloaded. And you can also order my CD. And at the same time, who gives a shit? I'm not here to get a break. I'm not out here to try to nickel and dime folks, man. In the next year, Persian, my goal is to make as many live performances as I can. And that's a pretty humble goal.
Yeah, and that's pretty much all you got to do, you know what I mean?
That's all, you know what I told you. Know, I was like, I'm trying to perform. You know, I'm trying to do 250 shows next year. And you're like, Jared? I'm like, well, somebody has to set a goal. You know, why? I'm not going to set a goal I think I can make. What the fuck? It wouldn't even be me. You know, you know what? You know what my favorite part of being in the music and meeting good people like you, Persia, is just being a dreamer. Because when I became... somebody who was really taking real steps towards their dream, I realized how much it pissed people off. How much it makes people mad. They just want to break out and tell you you can't do it. You know, when I figured out how much it made people mad that you would follow or stick to your dreams, that's when I was like, okay, now I know what I want to do for the rest of my life.
Just make people mad? That's what you want to do?
Yeah. That's what I want to do for the rest of my life, just piss these people off. Well, here's the thing. It's not you, though, Persia. It's not some of the great people around me. It's the fact that when I saw people who weren't doing anything, when I saw people who didn't follow their dreams derail me, that's what made me addicted, because it made me feel like at some point in my life I had something real and special and different. And for me, that was enough. To be different was enough for me. And I'm addicted to being different because I feel like I was ever accepted as a personality. I mean, I was listening to rap. I was 5 years old, I was rapping, six, writing music. White dudes who listened to rap and wore the clothes I wore and talked the way that I talked from the day one in the early 1990s weren't really prevalent. And now that you get to 2010, you see a lot of white hip-hop artists, but you're seeing less and less of the culture. That's the crazy part. And to me, my dream for hip-hop is to see the culture more popular. And if I can't do it, I hope somebody else do it. I cheer for Kanye. I cheer for everybody who's making my culture popular. And yeah, it is my culture too, baby. I don't give a fuck what I look like or not. It's my culture.
Is it, I understand. You know what I mean? Well, I mean, you know, you're doing hip-hop, so you're definitely part of the culture. You know, you got to get out more, and people can see you more, and then you'll be more and more of the culture. So,
I'm a threat one way or another, you know. Maybe I might not be the whole blanket, but I might be the silver lining. You know, so you never know what your role. I might inspire somebody who's truly, I might inspire somebody else who gives a shit. So, I mean, at the same time, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm artist with dreams. I want to be the number one rapper in the fucking world. But at the same time, I'm not going to change, and I'm going to accept the odds against me, and I'm going to make the music, keep on swinging, keep on punching, keep on supporting real artists like Persia Sound, and we'll see where it takes us, girl. We're going to see. We're going to find out.
Yeah, you know, I'll be working hard. I'll be talking to people. And also, as far as, like, the things that I do is, like, definitely putting shows together that, you know, speak to my heart as far as that's concerned. Because as far as, like, the rock scene, there really is not a rock scene where rock artists get together, black, white, green, orange, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's why I've been working on that with the Hard Rock Cafe. And among other shows that I've been collaborating with artists that, you know, I really love and would love to work with, and whether it be rap, R&B, hip-hop, soul, because I love all music, you know what I'm saying? So that is really where a lot of my focus has been turned to as far as that's concerned, in talking to other people as far as putting shows on to travel with them and whatever, you know what I mean? Because that's basically, at the end of the day, everybody would like to make a living off of their art on what they love to do. And, you know, what I would love to make a living out of is entertainment, period, in every aspect or the aspects that you work for me. So with that said, let's see. Let's go to another one of your songs. And you know what? I don't even know if I should play it because the time is almost up.
If anybody would like to say anything, I see some callers.
If you want to say anything, just, you know, press one and so you can put your hand up. But other than that, is there anything else that you wanted to say to your people? Hello? It hung up. All right, I'm going to play his song. It's called Free Park.
I did it last time, baby. Hey, hey. Hey, I know. Yo. You know how I do. We know how you do. You never knew the real Buddha in a Mac and Noodle cigar. My elevated state of mind is bizarre. I'm busy with the misfits. You sit at the bar. I finish your last line of harm. Find what we pour. I got a six pack and get a style out the car. Along the counterparts, the rubber bounds in the park. Such as bars, then you hear the engine start. Thus far, I don't even know who you are. We can jiggle like jello, but bust up my little sitars. And how hard is it to visit this exquisite rap bar? Not by far, a bigger catch than these actors are. They hate my charm, fate has made me a star. Ladies, navigate the way to me from afar. I wear my heart on my sleeve and bear my arms in part. To play my part, a part of parties that won't break apart. I got hard, hard. When men they just met with, I let bachelorettes get the affection that you think get left without breakfast. I leave my day, she wakes for the wet kiss. Breakfast broad gets dismissed with no exes. Or O's, or hoes who live with no more roles. Give more roles, the Lord knows the low life she slept with. Knows right from wrong, though I chose to be reckless. Gave up the groin, now our loins are affected. More for attention, emotions affected. Excess that she says, I get less interested. I expect returns from the liquor invested. Miss, the price is right, I am the next contestant. You just remiss you wish when you search for the sex is. It's effective, meet me outside, I'm erected. Check it, is a time. U.S. checkers on white.
That was Dirty Dirt Boy Free Parking. So tell us a little bit about that. We've got 3 more minutes left on as far as the show is concerned. So I guess we'll ride out with you telling everybody about, motherfucker, did your phone cut out again? You pissing me the fuck off. I'm like trying to unload you, unlock your thing. But all right, I guess we'll close out the night since I can't sit up here and wait. His phone keeps acting up. He's like out, in and out. So with that said, we will end the show right now, and I want to thank everybody for listening. We had a lot of listeners. We get listeners, but please don't be shy. If you want to say something or at least try and say something, make me feel, you know, all right, because I want to know, you know, if there's anything else that you would like us to touch base on. Don't be scared to call in and raise your hand by basically pressing 1. All right. Now, I'm about to unlock you, so you better talk. What's up?
Yo.
Yes, what happened?
What's up? Hey, you know how in the technological world, girl, now, you know, we have all kind of signals that get cut.
All right, you got 2 minutes. Basically, talk about the song and talk about, you know, talk about the song and then just any last words.
Okay, yeah, that song was an incredible song. That song is the song that started my relationship with Chuck Treese as a musician. We basically worked on everything I did after that point. I brought in incredible session musician from Philadelphia that's performing all the Jill Scott songs, The Roots, and everybody. There's no program instruments on that song. It's 100% live. Matter of fact, that is the only song that I have in my recorded history. I actually did all of my vocals on that song in 1 take. Like, that is actually me performing live in the studio completely from front to back. There is no takes on that song. That is me rapping complete. And I'm known. I'll fucking take verses for 2 years in a row until I get the right takes. That was just one that came out natural. We had a rock music sound to a song that was written in 2003. And we were doing verses even till this year, trying to get the lyrical structures right on the female parts. And a song I'm really proud of. It's a good.
Hello? Oh, well. Anyway. All right. That's Persia's World. That's the thing about these phones. But anyway, check back next Sunday. I will be here. Don't have a guest plan, but I'll find somebody. So anyway, talk to you later. Bye.
Intimidating, yes, you've never seen. I'm stacking a lot of green. I'm living the fast, flashy life. Girls want to get in cash fights. Around the world and private jets. Sassy thoughts, I'm not done yet. Next step is business mogul. Cause when you're a model, everything is VIP. You will see it seems natural.
I'm coming through for my baby. Won't you come close to me?